Hornet Flight by Ken Follett. Read by Alex Jennings. On the last day of May 1941, a strange vehicle was seen on the streets of Morlerne, on the west coast of Denmark. It was a Danish-made Nimbus motorcycle with a sidecar, in itself an unusual sight, because there was no petrol for anyone except doctors and the police and, of course, the German troops occupying the country. But this Nimbus's petrol engine had been replaced by a steam engine, and the seat had been removed from the sidecar to make room for a boiler, firebox, and chimney stack. Instead of the customary roar of a motorcycle exhaust, there was only the gentle hiss of steam. In the saddle was Harald Ulfsson, a tall youth of 18 with clear skin and fair hair brushed back from a high forehead. He had saved for a year to buy the Nimbus. Then it had taken him another year to modify the bike, working in school holidays. Today, home from his boarding school for Whitsun, he had spent the morning memorising physics equations and the afternoon attaching a sprocket from a rusted lawnmower to the back wheel. Now he was heading for a bar, where he hoped to hear some jazz and meet some girls. But when he drove up outside the Club Hot, in the heart of the Dockside district, its door was closed. He was mystified. It was 8 o'clock on a Saturday evening, and this was one of the most popular spots in town. A passerby stopped and looked at his vehicle. "What's that contraption?" "A Nimbus with a steam engine. Do you know anything about this club?"
"I own it."
"What does the bike use for fuel?"
"Anything that burns. But I use peat."
He pointed to the pile in the back of the sidecar. "Why are the doors shut?"
"The Nazis closed me down for employing Negro musicians." Harald had never seen a coloured musician in the flesh, but he knew from records that they were the best.
"The Nazis are ignorant swine," he said angrily.
The club owner looked to make sure no one had heard. The occupying power ruled Denmark with a light hand, but few people openly insulted the Nazis. "I'm hoping they'll let me open again in a few weeks, but I'll have to promise to employ white musicians."
Harald shook his head in disgust and headed for the harbour. His father was pastor of the church on Senna, a small island a couple of miles offshore. The little ferry was in dock, and he drove straight onto it. It was crowded with people, most of whom he knew. At the last minute, a German-built Ford sedan drove on. It belonged to Axel Fleming, owner of the island's hotel. The Flemings were hostile to Harald's family. Axel Fleming felt he was the natural leader of the island community, a role which Pastor Ulfsson believed to be his own, and the friction between them affected all other family members. Harald wondered how Fleming had managed to get petrol for his car. He supposed anything was possible to the rich. Harald took out a newspaper he had picked up in the town. Entitled Reality, it was an illegal publication, given away free. Harald folded it to hide the masthead while he read a report about the shortage of butter. Denmark produced millions of pounds of butter every year, but almost all of it was now sent to Germany, and Danes had trouble getting any. It was the kind of story that never appeared in the censored legitimate press. The island came closer. It was 12 miles long and a mile wide, with a village at each end. The fishermen's cottages and the church with its parsonage constituted the older village at the south end. Also at the south end, a school of navigation, long disused, had been taken over by the Germans and turned into a military base. The hotel and the larger homes were at the north end. In between was mostly sand dunes and scrub, with a few trees and no hills. But all along the seaward side was a magnificent 10-mile beach. Harald felt a few drops of rain as the ferry docked at the north end, and decided to cross the island and drive home along the beach, which had hard-packed sand. He was halfway from the dock to the hotel when he ran out of water and, therefore, steam. There was only one house within sight, and, unfortunately, it was Axel Fleming's. With a sigh, he set off up the long drive and went around the side to the stables. He was pleased to see a manservant putting the Ford in the garage.
Hello, Gunnar, said Harald. Can I have some water?
Help yourself, Gunnar said. There's a tap in the yard.